This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Rust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. And of course, you gotta sprinkle some pixie dust around and think that happiest thought so you can fly away with me to Neverland. Why would you want to fly with me to Neverland? Well, let me tell you something, little secret. I'm Head Lost Boy, okay? That makes me the Pan, and I'm a big Spider-Man fan, so you can call me the Spider-Pan, because all of us Lost Boys around here have to have nicknames, as well as our pixies all have nicknames. And we don't have any lost girls, because girls are too clever, they don't get lost. And if you would like to be an official Lost Boy or Pixie, make sure you visit NeverlandPodcast.com. Click on the link that says Neverlanders there in the menu, and that's where you can go and sign up and choose a nickname. In fact, we have a brand new Neverlander this week. So everybody, please welcome DJ Man Cub. This is actually a guy I know. We did a Radio Talent Systems thing. You know, I've mentioned this before, and he was there. And this is actually his university radio name. His name is Court Jensen. He was doing stuff at Northwest Missouri University and was doing this kind of geek nerd style show. But he was known as DJ Man Cub apparently on his show, and that's what he has chosen. So welcome to the Neverlanders. You are officially Lost Boy DJ Man Cub. Now, something else I want to get into that's very, very important. This Saturday, 10:30 a.m., Planet Comic-Con here in Kansas City. That will be the panel for anyone who wants to meet me. Eric, unfortunately, is unable to get a flight to come out to Planet Comic-Con, so he's not going to be able to join me. But I'm working on getting things set up where Lost Boy Philip will be coming with me to do this panel, and we're going to talk about all of the animators that worked at Laugh-O-Gram Studio with Walt and what they did after they left Laugh-O-Gram. Some of them stayed and worked with Walt. Some of them did other things. It's very, very interesting. I've been doing a lot of research, and I even shared some of my notes with Jim Korkus to get any additional information that he could share, which I've gotten an email from him with a lot of new information that I'm going to be adding to my notes. So this is going to be a lot of information to be able to share, and hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm aiming for it to be a lot of fun, so it's going to be a lot of good information, and if you're a fan of cartoons and you're coming to Planet Comic-Con, you're going to love this because I've got so much history of all these cartoon shorts that we probably grew up on. I know I did. I know you probably did too, but if you didn't, then you're going to hear about some stuff that you're going to wish you grew up on because these are great cartoons. And now I have to remember to update the website and put him on the list. I got so many different things going on here that I'm having a heck of a time keeping things together, you know, starting with the new work. And wow, I tell you what, it was a rough week starting at this radio station because I want to do very well when I'm on air. But I have messed up nearly every day this week trying to do my second newscast. So I'm slowly getting the hang of things. We're getting it together, but it's been a mess. But this week, we're only going to be hearing from me. So I have no co-host this week because Eric has some, you know, so he has some things he's got to take care of. He's got some business to deal with this week. And Lost Boy Philip is still recovering from all of his medical procedures. That maybe if he wants to share them sometime, he will. But yeah, he's getting over that. And so I'm on my own again this week. But don't worry, we still have a great show. I have lots of audio that I have yet to share from previous Planet Comic Cons. And I have audio from Alan Tudyk that I don't believe I have ever shared with you all. So I'm going to share it this week. Lots of great guests are going to be at Planet Comic Con this coming week. I don't know that everybody's going to have a panel because Belle herself, Paige O'Hara, I just saw was going to be at Planet Comic Con. But it doesn't look like she's hosting a panel. She's doing an autograph session and stuff like that. But oh my gosh, that's awesome. I'm going to go try and meet her. And there, I mean, so many others. There's going to be Chris Sarandon with Carrie Elways and Wallace Shawn. And yeah, at least two of those people have been in Disney or Pixar films. They're having some sort of panel on Princess Bride, I think, on Sunday. I don't know if I'll be able to go on Sunday because I'm mainly scheduled for Saturday. So we'll see how that works out. Plus, Sunday is usually the day I put the show together. But I've got so many different things going on all at once. And I have a lot of news that I want to cover. So I better just get right after it.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so the first thing I want to get into is Frozen. I guess it just opened on Broadway. And it was kind of a special night. Apparently, this was like on Friday night. And they had a curtain call. And they have Cassie Levy, I guess, and Patty Murin, who play Elsa and Anna. They invited Susan Egan on stage to sing the theme song Beauty and the Beast because this was actually 25 years ago when Beauty and the Beast debuted on Broadway. And Susan Egan played Belle in the original production. You might also know Susan Egan for having played in Hercules. She was Megara or Meg and did actually my favorite song in that film. So this was kind of a special thing. There is some video up on YouTube where it's not good quality video. Somebody held their phone the wrong direction, right? So, but there is some video up on YouTube that I did see about this whole thing. But here's from the area of I am not surprised. I got a report from the OC Register that all three of the Disneyland hotels actually are sold out for the night before Galaxy's Edge is going to open. So apparently you open a Star Wars park and everybody is going to show up. Now this, they mention, of course, the View Club and Suite Level Rooms in Disneyland Hotel, the Disney's Grand Californian Hotel, and the Disney's Paradise Pier Heart Hotel, all being sold out, and that's, of course, on the night of May 30th, because May 31st is when Galaxy's Edge is going to open. So, I mean, they're just completely booked, and they're expensive per night. We're talking, like, the Disneyland Hotel is $651 per night, and the Grand California is at $821 per night, according to the Disneyland website. So people are paying a lot of money. Paradise Pier, $503 per night. That's even up through June 1st. I mean, so people are paying a lot to get into these rooms to be some of the first people to experience Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland. And I can't say that I'd blame them. I would do the same thing, except for I do have that thought in my head that it's going to be super crowded that first weekend, that you won't get a chance to really do anything. But, you know, there's the mindset of I have to be there on opening day. And I completely get it. I understand that entirely. I wouldn't do it myself. Now, there's Also, something new, I think this has been brought up before on the show, but we're getting a little bit more information. This is something that's, I got this from the Disney Parks blog, but basically it's the new Worldwide Engineering Brigade at Disneyland Resort and Disneyland Paris. Now, this is, we spoke about this before. This is like the Avengers Initiative sort of thing going on at the parks, where you get to do some stuff with some neat technology, where you, in a way, you get to suit up and play as a superhero in some fashion. And they have released some images here of Spider-Man. Now, the suit, though, here for Spider-Man, it looks similar to the Stark suit we've been seeing in Homecoming, but yet a little different. So, I'm sure it's supposed to be sort of an in-universe for the film. But they're calling this Web, all in capital letters. And let me just read to you a little bit of this. It says, the Avengers are setting up new headquarters and training facilities around the globe to inspire all potential recruits willing to step up and become something more. As part of this global initiative, Tony Stark has founded the Worldwide Engineering Brigade, or WEB for short, to develop advancements in superpowered technology, including new enhancements to Spider-Man's suit as their debut project. By bringing together the world's brightest young inventors, the WEB is creating new interfaces that will empower all of us to join the ranks of Earth's mightiest. Now, if this is setting up something where you sort of get to play as Spider-Man, and I'll even quote the author of this article on the Disney Parks blog, says, I'm personally most excited to see Spider-Man swinging through these lands in a new suit that you can see now at Walt Disney Studios Park, soon at Disney California Adventure Park, and at other locations in the future. We were thrilled to partner with Ryan Miner, I'm sorry how to say that, but he's head of visual development at Marvel Studios to create this stunning new suit. And like I said, it does look a lot like the Stark suit, but it's different, and it's very, very cool looking. But I'm trying to figure out, I mean, are they going to let you kind of swing around and pretend to be Spider-Man with some sort of tech? It's really confusing exactly what this is going to be, but it seems like it's a virtual experience of some sort. So I would be excited about that. That would be, sounds like a lot of fun, you know, getting to go and pretend to be web-slinging as Spider-Man. I mean, obviously, that's something I'd be interested in doing. Previously, we've also talked about the pop-up Disney experience, which is part of a Mickey celebration that's opening April 26th over at the Downtown Disney District and Disneyland Resort. Well, the tickets are now on sale. They start at $30, and that includes 5 hours of parking. And this is where you basically get photo ops, and they have, I think it's basically an artwork kind of showing what this would be like, but you get to place yourself where you look like you're inside of a cartoon with these, you know, sort of cutouts or whatever. There's an image here of Plane Crazy where you're riding in the plane with Mickey Mouse. So there's lots of little different merchandise, a lot of different photo opportunities, and a lot of just different fun celebrating Mickey. There's even some food. There's Wetzel's Pretzels, Naples Restaurant and Bar. I mean, stuff to do around Downtown Disney and Disneyland to go around with this pop-up Disney. This is really would be a lot of fun. This is something I actually would like to do. What kind of goes on while supplies last, but tickets are available right now to go and do this experience, and I highly recommend you check it out if you're going to be in the area. Now, we've also gotten a look about a book called Black Spire, and it's written for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. There's basically, they're tying some story into this part of the park. So there's a book by Delilah S. Dawson. She's a New York Times bestselling author, but she's written a book. And let me read some of the description from the Disney Parks blog. The story begins with General Leia Organa and her top spy, Vi Moradi. After devastating losses at the hands of the First Order, Organa has dispatched her agents across the galaxy in search of allies, sanctuary, and firepower, and Vi may have just found all three on a secluded world at the galaxy's edge. A planet of lush forests, precarious mountains, and towering petrified trees, Batuu is on the furthest possible frontier of the galactic map, the last settled world before the mysterious expanse of wild space. The rogues, smugglers, and adventurers who eke out a living on the largest settlement on the planet, Black Spire Outpost, are here to avoid prying eyes and unnecessary complications. Vi, a resistance spy on the run from the First Order, is hardly a welcome guest, and when a shuttle full of stormtroopers lands in her wake, determined to root her out, she has no idea where to find help. And that's pretty much what this book is about. It's going to be released August 27th, but you can pre-order it right now. And of course, this is, you know, this is opening on March 29th in Florida. May 31st, of course, is the opening date. We already talked about that, but August 29th, so this is kind of tying into where it's closer to the opening in Florida of Galaxy's Edge. But this is telling some of the story. Now, I don't know if the story is somehow or another going to take place in the park, or you're going to be in an area where this story is set. I'm kind of wondering how they're setting that up, but it is kind of nice that they're tying this together with a novel that I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to read, really. Now, this is some interesting stuff. This is a milestone type of event. This is something that's kind of a standard around Disney and probably at other theme parks. But the cast members and the project teams that are building a roller coaster or an attraction will sign their name onto the first steel support column for a new attraction. And we had a ceremony apparently earlier this month for the Tron ride, the Light Cycle roller coaster. And there's photos on the Disney Parks blog of some of the people working on the ride signing their name to the first steel post. So this is expected to come by 2021. So we got a while before this is going to be ready. But it's supposed to be in time, at least for the 50th anniversary. I'm hoping they actually have it open sooner than 2021. I'm not sure how long it's going to take to build this, but we'll have it by 2021. So at least we have that, as a promise, at least, in a couple years. I'm hoping they'll have the ride ready in 2020, but we'll see. But another thing that's been going around the internet, there's the Disney Walk Around the World bricks over at the Magic Kingdom Park. And this is part of an arrival thing, but there's these little kind of hexagonal bricks that people could buy their way into having a brick that would have their name on it or celebrating an anniversary, and it would have the date of it. So they're all going to go away. They're going to take them away, but they're going to retire them in the coming months. But they, these bricks, it says, that were sold with the commitment that they would be displayed until 2011. And since the bricks were not designed to be removed individually, they will not be available to take home. Instead, guests who sponsored a brick may purchase a commemorative version between now and August 31st, 2019. So if you sponsored a brick and you want a souvenir, if you're in person, you got to go over to City Hall at the Magic Kingdom Park or Guest Relations at Disney Springs, verify your brick, share your name and your hometown of the guest who sponsored it. After they verified you, you'll get a one-time voucher to present by or before August 31st at Tomorrowland Light and Power at the Magic Kingdom Park. Separate theme park admission is required. Or the Marketplace Co-op at Disney Springs, enabling you to purchase a 6-inch brick at special price of $10. Now, if you want to contact virtually, you're going to send an email to guest.services@disneyworld.com or call 407-828-2701 with the name and hometown of whoever sponsored the brick. And after you're verified, you'll be getting a code. And you use that code before August 31st on shopdisney.com and you can purchase your brick at the special price of $10 plus tax and shipping. So this is a one-time use code, and it's only valid at shopdisney.com. You can't redeem it in person or at any other location. If you did not participate in the Disney's Walk Around the World program, but you want to purchase a brick, souvenir bricks are going to be available to customize and purchase starting at $29.99, plus tax and optional shipping. These are on sale actually now at Tomorrowland Light and Power Company at the Magic Kingdom Park. There was, of course, you have to pay for your park admission, or at the Marketplace Co-op at Disney Springs, or later it's going to be on shopdisney.com starting this spring, which spring has sprung, so take a look and you might find out something about that. So I kind of missed out on these. I was wondering if this was something that also in front of Epcot, because they have some sponsored bricks in front of Epcot. I can't remember offhand, but I don't remember necessarily seeing these at Magic Kingdom. Maybe I should have paid attention when I was walking in, but I wasn't really looking at the ground so much when I was at Magic Kingdom. I was pretty enamored with that castle up ahead of me. But Epcot is actually going to get a new on-screen experience. Now, this is called Awesome Planet, and it's going to showcase some of the different things about planet Earth. And it's going to be part of the new Circle Vision film, which was announced for the China Pavilion. There's going to be updates to the film in Canada Pavilion, and of course the Beauty and the Beast sing-along that's coming into the France area. So there's a lot of things happening at Epcot, and there's going to be something new coming along. This is basically nature photography, immersive in-theater effects, space sequences created by Industrial Light and Magic. So, of course, awesome. And Epcot guests, we're going to get an environmental message from this. And you'll hear a lot more news on this in the coming thing. But all we know is this film is coming. Looks to be in connection with a Circle Vision type of thing. So it's called Awesome Planet. And it does show, at least, that Epcot is still going to have like an educational feel to things. So I definitely appreciate that. Now, we are a month away from Free Comic Book Day 2019, and it always happens early on in May. It's like the right now we're looking at May 4th. It's usually like that first Saturday. Now that's kind of fun. It's May the 4th because that's Star Wars Day. I actually know some people getting married on Star Wars Day out in St. Louis, but I'll be, of course, doing Free Comic Book Day because that is like one of my favorite holidays. This is where there's like 51 comic titles that are going to be free, and I did find a list on freecomicbookday.com of some of the different comics. And some of the ones that you might be interested in, well, heck, there's a Buffy Firefly crossover thing going on. And usually these are in promotion of new series. There's a Riverdale series. Stranger Things is going to have a comic book. There's going to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book. I'm probably going to grab that one. There will be a Earth's Mightiest Heroes Avengers. This is going to feature a story by Jason Aaron and Stefano Caselli. Sets the stage next to some of the main Avengers series just in time for Marvel's highly anticipated movie Avengers Endgame, with an all-new thrilling 10-page tale from Gary Duggan and Mike Diodato, which of course is going to be awesome. And you're going to see the Savage Avengers in that 10-page story. There will be, of course, a Doctor Who. There is a Disney's Descendants. The main thing, of course, there's a Pokemon. I want to scroll that back down here. I heard a little bit about this on a YouTube that Marvel released a video. Oh, it looks like there's going to be some Incredibles 2 stuff in a Minecraft thing. There's something about Incredibles 2 stuck down in the bottom of a Minecraft thing you might want to look into. But there was going to be sort of a Spider-Man tie-in. They're going to launch an event, basically. There will be a Star Wars Adventures comic, but that's IDW. Is not a Marvel, but the Star Wars Adventures are childlike versions of things. They're usually pretty fun. But there is a Spider-Man. This is beginning or connecting to something. I think they're calling it Absolute Carnage. But basically, it's almost a sequel to Maximum Carnage. Cletus Cassidy is back. Let me just read for you what it says here. It says, everyone knows Miles Morales, who rose to fame in Marvel's acclaimed and animated sensation Into the Spider-Verse. And with a second feature film arriving this year, Peter Parker will once again suit up to save the world in his web-slinging superpowers. In a special Free Comic Book Day story, creators Tom Taylor, Saladin Ahmed, and Corey Smith take these superstar heroes of the Spider-Verse in a shocking new direction with a story that will build to one of Marvel's most fantastic and epic tales later this year. And prepare for absolute terror within the pages of Free Comic Book Day as an original Venom story by Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman sets the stage for what will become one of the most fearsome events in the Marvel Universe. Nearly a year after the epic red-hot arc of the Red Goblin, Venom's dynamic creative team is bringing you a story that's been brewing since a classic Spider-Man tales like Amazing Spider-Man number 252, The Spectacular Spider-Man 90, Marvel Team-Up 141, a saga so big and so absolutely action-packed, it will deliver the most dramatic story in all Free Comic Book Day history. Fans will be well aware by the summer of 2019 that everyone is a target, and the first Saturday in May, Marvel invites you to experience the threat for yourself. Now, what they were talking about, what one of the writers was on YouTube, if you go to the Marvel's official YouTube, Cletus Cassidy is back as Carnage, and he's targeting anybody that has ever had a symbiote, which apparently is a lot of stuff. They've been developing, I guess, stuff in the Venom comics, which I have not been reading, where the symbiotes are actually connected to a lot more people than you would think. And so Carnage is coming back. So the weird thing is Carnage usually doesn't have a plan. He's just pure anarchy. He just wants to go and have wholesale slaughter, which basically puts everybody in danger right there. This, unless it's different, it sounds a lot like the old Maximum Carnage storyline, which eventually did spawn a Super Nintendo game. And I did collect that entire series. So this reminds me of that. I'm sure it'll be different from that in some way, somehow. But I want to see what they do. This could be something, because I do enjoy some Carnage stories. I haven't read anything with him in it in, it's been a long time. One last piece of news I want to get to. They started talking to an actor named Noah Centineo to play He-Man in that Masters of the Universe film. Now, looking at a picture of this guy, I have never seen him before in my life. But Sony Pictures and Mattel Films is getting together to make this film. And Adam and Aaron Nee are going to direct this film. So, of course, it's based more on the Tory line, so this may be... I mean, they might pull some elements from the animated series. Who knows? They might go from some of the original concepts of the toys, which is kind of what the previous Masters of the Universe film did. So we're not sure exactly what to expect other than it's a He-Man film. And this guy, he needs to bulk up. Because I've seen people posting to Facebook some images of this actor, and he's kind of thin. But I do recall Brandon Routh, before he was playing Superman, when he was first cast, was a little on the thin side, and he really needed to bulk up, and he did. So we'll see what happens with this actor. Now, one other thing I want to dive into, of course, was this week the merger was finalized on Wednesday between Disney and 21st Century Fox. And Laughing Place actually made a list of some of the things that Disney now owns, which is stuff like Family Guy, because it's on the Fox network, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's something I don't see Disney do anything with at any point, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer was on a Fox network. Would be interesting if they did something with that or Futurama. But here's something, Young Frankenstein. Now, of course, I wouldn't want them to reboot Young Frankenstein, but that's interesting. Home Alone was a Fox release, but here's something I think something could happen with this. Alien, the Alien franchise. So right now, you know, the Great Movie Ride is gone, so we don't have any sort of nod to aliens at all. But what if Alien Encounter came back? Because it looks like Stitch's Great Escape might be on its way out. And the original intention behind the Alien Encounter was supposed to be a tie-in to the Alien franchise, but they weren't really able to do that. So is it possible that even in the Magic Kingdom, where maybe something like this doesn't fit, but they might do an Alien Encounter that would actually have a Xenomorph? Who knows? This also gives them connection to Planet of the Apes and X-Files. And here's something, The Sound of Music, which I don't think they could really remake, but... Well, you know, maybe they could do a re-release, or maybe bring some elements into the parks, something, you know, I don't know. Obviously, this does also give them Avatar, which, you know, they're already doing stuff in the parks, but they have now rights on Avatar. They also have the rights of Die Hard. I don't see anything happening in the parks with Die Hard. But, I don't know, maybe they could start showing them on some of the Freeform channels. This also gives them, of course, rights to Deadpool and the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, which I would like to see what they do, bringing them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think they could possibly tone down Deadpool if they want to bring him into the MCU, but it is also very possible that they'll just keep making those under the Fox banner and keep Deadpool far away from the MCU as they can. They've really kept the MCU very much PG-13. Deadpool can be PG-13, but right now they've already built a fan base on him being an R, and I can see a lot of people being upset if they try to tone down Deadpool. So I don't anticipate seeing him being part of the MCU. They probably keep Deadpool separate. I don't know, though, for sure. But also, this gives Disney full rights to the initial Star Wars trilogy, which means they could release these films on Blu-ray Digital in their original forms. It's very possible that this could happen, and I would like to see it happen. So, we'll see what happens with that. This also gives Anastasia, remember that animated film, and now there's a Broadway version, where Anastasia was, I think it was a Don Bluth work. But, you know, getting a little Disney backing to Anastasia could be very much a good thing. We could see a lot of things happen with that. But also, Firefly was a Fox property. So Disney now has acquired Firefly. Maybe they'll find a way to, you know, there's been talked about that they were going to bring it back. Maybe Disney will put some effort into bringing Firefly back in some fashion, and I'm sure everybody would be very happy with that. I mean, you did have a very good cast down there. Nathan Fillion, Alan Tudyk, I mean, Summer Glau. I mean, there were so many good people in that series. So, you know, there was talk that they were going to try to reboot this franchise somehow, bring it like a different series, like a prequel series. Disney would actually be really great at doing such a thing like that. But speaking of Alan Tudyk, I'm going to turn this over to the panel that Alan Tudyk had at Planet Comic-Con this past year. I did try to get in line to ask a question, but I was unable to get up there. I don't recall if there was any language in this panel, and I don't have time to edit it, so I'm just going to play it for you in its full, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. He's a very funny guy. He did a lot of goofy things, like giving weird prizes to anyone who asked him a question. And I don't believe I've played this audio before, but even if I have, I'm sure you're not going to mind hearing it again. But enough talking from me. Make sure you come see it to Planet Comic Con this week, coming weekend, so you can come see the show that we present, plus all the fun stuff that's going to happen, and also enjoy things like Alan Tudyk.
To Disney and beyond.
Are you guys fans of a show called Firefly?
You know Firefly. Ah! You know Star Wars.
Ah! I mean,
I've probably got a little bit of a bigger.
I don't think they have to notice it. These are your peoples here, Alan.
These are my
peoples. These are your peoples. First of all, welcome to Kansas City, and these guys welcome you, right? I know you guys are so excited to talk to Alan, so we're not going to waste any time. Line up at the mics. We're going to get through as many questions as we can. And you have achieved what I imagine is most little boys' dreams, becoming part of the Star Wars franchise. What was that like when you got the call that that was going to happen?
I was told in the room, which as an actress you know does not happen.
That is crazy.
I auditioned on Skype from Nathan Fillion's house. No, yes. Well, I had an interview with Gareth Edwards, who directed it. And he was like, he wants to talk to you. I was like, all right. About a robot, about a droid. And I was like, oh, I got it. And he said, okay, I got it. He probably wants to talk about how to do it. Because I did iRobot, so he needs some tips. And really just had this conversation with him, like, all right, here's what you need to do. Really, he's like, so we're going to do this, where there's going to be motion capture, and, you know, we're not sure how much it's going to be in the face and stuff. And like, you know, whatever it is, just know what it is when you start. Don't kind of second guess it. Figure it out from the top. Know how it moves, because you're gonna want that. You're gonna need to figure out your own vocabulary of movement with any robot. And just, I forget all the tips I gave it.
They were obviously very helpful.
No, I mean, yeah, kind of in that. So then I met him. I put in an audition. I auditioned. With a scene that didn't make it into the movie or was never even shot, where we go to a planet where the magnetic field screws with K2SO's programming to where he starts out talking very fast and then really sort of jumped through hoops. And then they said he'd like to meet you at Anaheim Star Wars Celebration, and I went and sat down. And that's when he told me, I made a short film about robots. We're robots.
Like, oh.
Oh, so you know how to do it. Like, so and he's just like, do you want to do it? I'm like, what? Yeah.
And to be in that environment, like at Star Wars Celebration, and just to be like, you, now?
Yeah. And like, Star Wars Celebration is happening all around, all around us. And I was like in some conference room where nothing's going on. Just like, that's where it was happening. He's like showing me, that's what the U-Wing's going to look like, that's what that's going to look like, and all this stuff that I knew. Either he'd have to kill me or give me the role, because I knew way too much.
After so many years in the business, that's such an incredible story. To just have that moment.
And my manager, I left, and she said, so what, how was it? And I said, I think I was cast. No, we basically started. I'll call you back. You can figure out whether I was cast or not.
That is awesome. Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and start. Do you want to stand up on this side and kick us off? Hi.
Hello.
I'm so glad you weren't in a wheelchair. That would have been embarrassing for you, Claire.
I can see him sitting on the ground.
scene from Con Man.
Hey, from Con Man. My favorite scene from Con Man. I've got a couple. Okay, so I'll just do it real fast. The first one is going to be one with Milo Ventimiglia, who we did, and Nolan North, who's a great voiceover actor and motion capture actor and actor. He played Jerry Lansing, the second best motion capture artist in the world, with a huge chip on his shoulder about Andy Serkis. He plays monkeys. And we were all doing a video game, and it was echoed what happened in real life doing Halo with Nathan Fillion, where he did, I recorded mine in New York, he did in LA, we came together, I was like, man, Halo, what was that like? And he goes, it was all that stuff about, you know, like, follow me, I got him on the run, taste my fire, or whatever. And then mine were, ow! They're using real bullets! Scene like that, and then there was one that's a little bit more disgusting with my my landlord in season two, who was an early stuntman for women. He was a lady stuntman, and he's gotten old and senile, and he wears dresses from the days when he was the most macho person. He did the most amazing things. And he comes and he sits down, and I've been eating salsa and chips, and he sits down and he's like, telling me about, You gotta embrace pain. Pain is, you know, that makes you a man. And I'm like, your balls are in the salsa. It's on the coffee table. I was like, I know that. I never pegged you as a habanero guy. Yeah, it's like it's spicy. And he goes, why am I tasting garlic? It's such a ridiculous line. Con Man, if you don't know, is a show that I did with Nathan Fillion, and we put it out online. I think you can still watch it on Roku, especially season two, which is a little tougher to watch. But yeah.
Maybe season three.
We don't have the rights to it right now. You kind of pass them around the rights, evidently. All right, so thank you for asking a question. Here's something. I just have I give out crap. Worth something, and a lot of it's just crap. Which also, if you don't get anything good, it's kind of. This one is actually Jason Momoa. I had him sign this for me yesterday. I'm not quite sure what he's doing. I think he was like running and then he started falling over. But Jason signed it and so did I, so one of those things.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the question.
Hey, how are you doing?
And I remember some of them are crap. Okay, go on.
Song for your life, what would it be?
A theme song for my life.
Danger Zone!
Danger Zone? Well,
I don't know. Gosh.
That's such an on-the-spot question.
Because I'm a big lover of music, so I have a large library.
There's no way I'm going to manage to get to the line, is there?
You know, anything from the solo career of Oates. Paul, just Oates.
Just
did so much. Okay, this is amazing. Okay, look at this.
This looks good.
Yeah, this is a bag. You can carry anything in this bag. Sign this raisin cashew almond mix. So you can use it as a purse.
Hi.
Hello.
I was wondering, after being an actor, a voice actor, a writer, producer, director, what do you want to do next?
You are a Renaissance man.
Look at that, right? That's
yeah.
The field. Thank you for saying all those things at once. I don't know. I'd like to write. I'd like to write some more. I'd like to.
Please.
I'd like to write a Tucker and Dale too. Is what I'd like. That's a duck in the crack, because the first. A lot of people have asked me about that. It's very neat because. I'm actually seeing those guys. Tyler Levine, who played Dale, and Eli Craig, who wrote and directed the first one, to try to sort something out. Because it's tough. The first one, if you know the movie, it's all about a misunderstanding. So there's no more misunderstanding. You can't go, they're kind of killing themselves. You would know that they're trying to kill you in a certain point. It's tricky. So this is my rookie. Stage directions for something, and I would always say yes. And one was like, you know, it's like you're up there taking pitches if you know baseball, which I don't, but evidently they throw balls at you when you hit them with a stick. So it's like, you know, you're trying to get as many pitches as possible, and you might make contact at a certain point. And I did, where I got invited to a workshop of a play one summer and in New York, and went to do the workshop, and I got up and I'm like, hey, why don't you be in this other workshop too? And then I met a bunch of playwrights and directors, and then they said, why don't you be in this play? And then with that, I built it. That was my first brick in a stair wall. It's a complicated
yeah. That's the masonry.
This is my room key. This is from the Ritz-Carlton. Ooh. I stayed there last weekend.
Thank you. And good luck with your career.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, what would you say?
I would say the same thing. Work and study and just try to get your little first in, like anything, you know?
Study is a good thing.
Perseverance. And don't be afraid of not working. It'll happen again and again.
Yeah.
You just have to like keep persevering.
Yeah, study is good because it is a you can have talent, but you have to hone it. You gotta get that hone on. Get your hone on.
Hi. May I teach you something in sign language real quick before my question?
Absolutely.
Okay,
so point to yourself.
Did you drop that? No, that's all.
Maybe I did.
You're gonna do something.
So point to yourself?
Yes.
Do this?
Uh-huh.
Now point to me.
Thank you very much.
Okay, my question is,
yes.
I want to mash up two of your characters and ask the question about perspective. So what would Pirate Wash say about Kansas City?
Oh. It's like a sugar bowl that's too small, so maybe it's a salt bowl. You guys got some mushrooms on top. Yeah, here you go. Enjoy that.
Hi.
I'm going to bring back the Knight's Tale.
Woo! Oh. TV show at some point, which I think that'd be really cool. Be a good time for it, like a bunch of young folks. But there was an idea for a second one that the writer-director, while we were shooting it, talked about, and it was called A Pirate's Tale. And this was before the pirate thing, the dead guy? I mean, I saw it, yeah, it kind of, yeah. It's a small, low-budget thing you may have caught. In the Caribbean or something. Anyway, and we had a line at the end that we shot where Ryan's kissing the princess and everything's happening. They come back to the group of us and I say, I bought a ship. And they go, what? Yeah, I bought a ship. And then that was going going to be played before the segment. Like, we were planning.
Like, it was all there.
Yeah. And he had a really cool thing about this rowing. A guy with his mouth sewn shut, his tongue was cut out, his eyes were sewn shut, his ears were sewn shut. And he had this intricate tattoo on his back. And we were like, our ship's been taken over, and we're just in the hull rowing. That's how, like, this has not worked out well for us. Time, all I had to do, I'm just looking at this map the whole time, or we figure it out, it's a map, like it's a tattoo, and it's like, oh, that looks like those islands, and wait a second, this is a map. And every time the guy gets whipped, pieces of the map disappear. Give it to me. No, it's not him. He's complete innocent right here. And then we take over the ship, and we go on.
Yeah.
So that's as much of the movie as exists. You anything, have I? Here's the thing.
This is a good one.
This is Superman. It's a Superman. I can't really tell. There's an S on there, and then there's like a lot of pow bam pals. On there. I don't remember where that came from. There you go.
Thank you.
Hi.
All right. My question is actually about Dirk Gently.
Hard. It's harder playing bad guy. I played the bad guy in Dollhouse in Dollhouse. He was kind of funny. And I guess this guy in Dirk Gently was a little funny. Kind of. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, when you have a gun, it's easy. So you're like, I'm bad, and then you have a big gun, and you're like, that takes care of that. I don't have to act at all. But yeah, and what a crazy show. Do y'all know that ship? Do you think it's a great actress, really good actress in that. It was wild. It's canceled now, so there's two seasons of that on BBC America, which you can get somewhere. I play Mr. Priest. Yeah, Mr. Priest, the second season. So we'll never know what happened with Mr. Priest. And that's okay. Look, here is, you're the perfect person to get this.
This is a nice one.
Yeah. If you worked on Dirk Gently, they gave you one of these. I don't use it. Maybe you will. There you go.
Yeah, enjoy.
Cheers, yeah.
Going back to that.
Thank you.
Do you have any very memorable, like, funny parts or pranks or anything like that that you can remember from A Knight's Tale?
Boy, that is going back.
Of all your sets, it doesn't seem like it would be the most pranky.
Of all
the different shows and sets you've been on.
Well, we were young. I think Heath Ledger was 20, and I think he turned 21 while we were there, or something like that. I remember him being like, how old are you, Jesus? God, I just remember going to really cool castles. We did it in Prague for 5 months, so we were, you know, we had a really good time. I remember Heath Ledger, he had a dagger. Oh, you know what? Yeah, he used to play pranks on this one producer. Oh, what is his name? He still works a lot. He's a big producer. Anyway, obviously we don't work. He had this dagger, and he'd throw it up, and like try to catch it before it goes out. The producer's like, oh, please, please. Not just a shower cap, but a deluxe shower cap. Designed by Peter Thomas Roth. So, yeah, that is...
Thank you.
It's fancy, one of a kind right there.
That is, that's unique. Hi.
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 such a sweet.
This question actually kind of plays in with the previous one.
Hello.
We have found, like watching people like Michael Keaton, that comedians often make the best psychopaths. So, if you could play any villain, either from a show that has already been made or from literature or something, what villain would you want to play?
I don't know. Funny and clowny bad, of which I'm not having a. Oh, John Turturro in what was the one with the machine gun and the guy Albert Finney's in it and that one. Miller's Crossing. Thank you. Such a good movie. Yeah, anything with the Coen Brothers. I'd love to do anything with the Coen Brothers.
That is the perfect sensibility for you too. Like,
exactly.
Kind of serious, but a little bit funny, but really serious and maybe evil.
Yeah, this is Star Wars Adventures Unexpected Detour. This is a comic book that was put out by Disney, and I actually helped a little bit with K2SO's dialogue, because it was off. And some of it's on, some of it's still a little on the edge, but whatever, it's cool, it's great, there you go! I helped write that.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. First off, I want to say that I loved you as Wash in Firefly. Acting that you have done over the past?
You know, working with Disney, this has just been insane. You know, it's nuts. I've had a chance to do 5 movies now with them, and they just convinced themselves, I don't know, somewhere along the way, after it was, the first one was Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah! Just put you in Frozen because it was some of the same people who worked on Wreck-It Ralph, and so there's the Duke of Westerton. And I like the process of watching it. You know, and it's funny in Frozen, I was first a different character that got cut from the movie. Yeah, there he's still in there. He's he was a butler and in love with cheese, and he helped raise the girls, and he loved this worm cheese. And which is a real thing I found out there. It's cheese that has worms in it.
Ew.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. Yeah, that's how they, anyway. Because they eat it and then it keeps good and that's how it mixes. Yeah, anyway, so he loved that stuff. And then in the process, the way they do movies is so you'll record it and then they'll put it all up, they'll, you know, animate it very roughly and then go, oh, well, we can't have that guy. The butler's got to go because now the kids are being raised by somebody and they can't have any nurturing, you know, person in their life because they're all alone. That's part of the deal. And so they go, you know what? Hey, we have this other guy, Duke Wesselton. Would you want to play him? And it's like just being part of the process and getting to see that. And you'll still see this butler in there. He doesn't say anything now. He opens a door at one point. That's about it. So just being part of that, family. I go to that studio now, and the guards are like, hey, good to see you. Oh, look who it is. You're kidding, right?
Oh, my God. That is wonderful. You are so amazing in all of your voice roles. I mean, I agree, Moana, I love you.
Very. I lived in a chicken coop for 2 months. Getting into character was not as hard as getting out. It's a good 4-month process. I stopped eating off the floor and laying eggs. This is a Spectrum. It's a comic book that I wrote with PJ Hartman. But this is signed by me and Nathan Fillion.
Thank you. Hi.
Oh gosh, I didn't know you. Hello. What's your name? Lael? Nice to meet you.
They're doing an amazing job all weekend. Between like in-person acting versus voice acting is, besides being in front of a camera?
Yeah, it's a lot harder in-person acting. Whatever it is, you know, whatever you shot on the day it is, so we're like, you know, we can be, we've only got one take. That sucks. Like, we're out of time. We can't go over. Sometimes it's, you know, we're chasing the sun. Sometimes it's like, if we go over, it's 10 grand by a minute. And so we're not doing that. So you better nail it in one, and that's what you see. So, you know, whenever you see a movie, you have no idea what's going on that led to that moment. So I think actors, at least actors, when you watch things, you're a little bit forgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I always say I'm the worst critic because I understand, like, there's always stuff to appreciate because it's such a hard process.
Yeah. So that's a lot harder. When you do a voiceover, you can go back and change it, redo it. It's such a long process from your first recording to the final that you can, you know, they come up with new lines. It's a great process. You can get them to do things. You know, you can either say lines that aren't there, you know, ad lib that they'll then do it. King Candy was good on sounds because he could just be on, it's wonderful, and then and so then you can see that animated. They would go with it. This is not a comic book. This is a Smith & Noble custom window treatment. I would take my dress off of that.
So I had to figure something else out.
What do you got?
You've done a lot with Disney, and I've loved Disney forever. What do they do that you like so much that makes you want to keep going back?
Oh, it's Disney. I think they do such a good job.
Yeah.
So there's so many classic Disney movies. I know that a lot of you have. Everybody's got one growing up. What was yours?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so many. Even now, I have watched Frozen no less than, like...
Really?
I have kids, so I've seen it, like, 150,000 times.
So you've let it go a lot in your house.
It's an iconic brand, and it's just associated with, like, good feelings, I think.
Yeah. A Little Mermaid... Yeah. I got way like a little too much into Little Mermaid. Like, yeah. 17. But you know what? I still, when I have to do a French voice, French accent, I'll do a little les poissons. Can't figure out how to open that. All right, so I'm just gonna sign this package. It sucks.
Here, let me work on that. Got it?
There we go. No idea what this is. It has something to do with Star Wars. Oh, it says... this is Shadow War?
This looks like a good one, though.
Close enough, right? Got more
than this. It's in a gift bag that I got from some... I might be in this, I don't know. It's a journal. Write your feelings in there.
Would there be a Con Man season 4?
We're going to only have a season 3.
We got to go with 3, yeah.
We're going to jump, that'd be fun, jump 2. Or 3, jump 3 and go to 4.
We don't know.
We don't have the, that's mine. K2SO
that's like
arm.
A mashup.
Yeah, it's a mashup. K2SO arm, and then this is Duke Weaselton from Zootopia. King Candy, a cock, and then my face. there's a lot more scripts to be written for con man. It's a rich world, as y'all all know, the world of cons. I'm just gonna fish around in this bag until I find I don't know if you like coffee beans or tea leaves. I'm talking coffee bean and tea leaf. You got a Columbia blend right here. You're going south of the border. And then you're going south and over.
Wait, con man, what was it like to wear so many hats? I mean, you were literally doing everything, it feels like. At least that first season.
Yeah, it was nuts. The first season, I rode at them all. And then, actually, we shot the first season, and then I went to go do Star Wars. So I was editing while I was doing Star Wars, which I hadn't done before. I hadn't done any game before. It was a lot. I mean, I just had like a 1,000-yard stare a lot of the time. Just like figuring I'm here, I'm there, I can't believe, like, I saw some notes the way that I was working when I did Star Wars. I'd work all day, and then at night, watch the edit as it was going. They'd have sent me the edit, and then I would write down, change this, this is too short, this is too long, cut to this, blah, blah, blah. Send all those notes over, do it till 2 in the morning, go to sleep, wake up, do Star Wars. Around lunchtime, I would start to get notes trickling in back, responses. Yeah, we'll figure that out. And then when I got done, they would have done the changes, and then I'd start editing again.
Wow.
That's stupid.
That's crazy.
I went to France with my wife. I went to Paris because she was visiting. And I was like, well, I can do this anywhere. You want to go to Paris? So we went to Paris. It was just close, but stay up till 5 in the morning while she slept.
Yeah,
just love Paris. Yeah, it's okay.
That's nice. Hi.
This goes to you. Who asked me the question?
No, that was me.
Prepare for the role of Stephen the Pirate in Dodgeball?
It's so ridiculous. Hagrid from Harry Potter movies. He's like, that's kind of like a pirate accent, isn't it? Harry Potter, however he said it. I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it.
That is such a good insight.
And then we did a lot of rehearsing dodgeball, or we played dodgeball. We all threw our arms out, like in the first, before we even started shooting.
Yeah.
So that if you ever came on set, it just smelled like Ben Gay.
Icy hot.
Yeah, icy hot. It was hot set. All right. This was...
This is a good one.
Yeah, we didn't give these... I don't think you even could get these shirts. I think these were just... We had these when we did our crowdfund for Con Man. And so these were just ones for people. There you go. For us, Con Man, there you go.
Nice.
Yeah. That's for us. We wore those in the... I don't remember. We wore them.
Hi, you look great.
Hey.
Hi, thank you. My question is about Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yes.
What was it like filming the wood chipper scene?
It was fun. You know, it's actually online, part of it. What a crazy movie. We shot that in 3 weeks, which is not enough time. And the director just put it online, so you can actually see us shoot that. It was very fun. There were two sets of legs that I used. One was the stuntman who actually jumped, and... I did that. The thing wasn't running, obviously. Then was just some dummy legs that was just like a mannequin. And that was almost more fun because it became like a clown bit. And then they just shot a bunch of blood in my face. It was so insane. It was so insane. Todd and I would finish those days because we did so much, and we would go back in the van and just... What did we do? All right, we did that one scene. Is that good?
Was that the morning?
I don't know if we did that. I don't know if that was any good. Oh, I like what we did in that one. That one might work out. So we really didn't know if it was going to work at the end of the day until we saw the first compilation, the first assemblage, and got really excited about it. And then they didn't really release it over here. They released it just like here, there, here, there. It was, yeah. I hope, hopefully we'll figure out how to do a second one. This is Spectrum, the first comic again. Oh, wait. PJ Harsman signed this one, too. So it's me and Nathan and PJ Harsman. We all right.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Good.
Hello. So my favorite character in Disney is Hey Hey and Moana.
Hi, hi.
So I was wondering, what was the casting decision story behind that? Of like, were they like, we want you to be Maui, and you're like, no, I'm going to be the chicken.
Well, they cast primarily 99% islanders, you know, people from, you know, casting for those roles. But the chicken, yeah, fair game, man. There you go. So yeah, John Lasseter, who created the company, was just very generous and a great guy. Remember just saying, we got a good role for you. We got a good role. There's only like 8 people in the whole cast, so it's a little tricky. But so I played Hey Hey, and I did actually play an islander. I played the guy who wanted to eat me. There's something wrong with that chicken. And then I also play a guy getting a tattoo. Because I just go, Alan's a whiner. Get to that dinner. More Star Wars adventure-y stuff. Comics written by me. Can you? That's so ridiculous. Silly. But yeah, there you go. Cheers.
Thank you. Here's your question. Hey, how's it going?
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey, Ellen, you have such a wide range as far as acting. You're so talented at everything you've done as far as my concern, like voice acting and acting in general. Is there anybody you looked up to growing up?
Oh,
when you started out?
Yeah, my favorite was Gene Wilder. I have red hair. It's a shame the colors as I've gotten older. It's kind of seems crappy. Because as a kid, that's when you don't want it. Yeah. Nobody wants it. Anyway, if you have it, there's very few of us in the world. It looks very pretty on the ladies, but on boys, you're like, I wear a t-shirt in the pool. Just not. No, anyway. So what was I saying? Oh yeah.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah, I just went down a rabbit hole. Gene Wilder, because I also love Mel Brooks. I love his simple vaudevillian. I mean, the shows, the old. I watched a lot of those before YouTube existed, before the internet. Museum of Radio and History in New York and watch a bunch of old shows. It's a cool place to go. And now I think you can just get them all on YouTube. But in Young Frankenstein, I'll bother my wife with this all the time, so I'm going to bother y'all with it. One of the best moments in that whole thing is the dumb bit. It's such a stupid bit. It's so simple. Where he says, whatever you do, do not open this door. The monster is gonna, you will undo everything I have worked for up until this moment. Do not open this door. Then he goes in, open the door. Open the door. And for me, that is the dumbest joke at all. But he sets it up so well. Okay, so I'm giving you, this is a good one. I actually bought this in Belize, if you can believe it. It is a fish decal. It's a sweet made by Salty Bones. No idea what you would use that for.
But enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy. I liked it on the day. I remember expensive than you would have thought fish decal.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Hi. So, my favorite thing that you've been in is Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And I wanted to know what was your favorite, like, scene to shoot in that, like, besides, you know, the wood chipper thing turned out.
Right. The scene we shot, I think a lot of people told me also it's that one where we come out from the wood chipper with half a guy and the sheriff pulls up. And we're just so caught trying to explain ourselves. Tyler never drops the foot of the dead guy. The entire time we're talking to the cop, which is really brilliant. And so stupid. Let me do the talking. Okay. And I go, hello, officer. Hey! And he immediately starts talking. It was also a day when we got to work with the young, the college kids, because they were trapped in a truck. And we hadn't, it's kind of like two movies were happening. They were attacking us and we were defending ourselves. Uh-huh. So it was fun a lot of ways. And the sheriff with that damn piece of wood stuck in his head and all those nails coming out. When he goes to the truck, he's like, I got this. Like, you can't even, like, you are walking dead right now. Look at this. Beers at Boulevard? What is that? That's around here somewhere, I guess. Here, Kansas City. It's a cozy.
A koozie.
Koozie. It's a cozy little koozie. Here you are. Thank you for the question. That was my favorite. Us out there just trying to explain ourselves. Cheers.
Thank Great. You. Hi.
Hey. Hello. As I'm sure we all are, a big Firefly fan. So my question would be, you know, after what happened in Serenity to our beloved Leaf on the Wind. Some sort of new Firefly.
Right.
What would be your story for bringing Wash back?
I can't imagine.
What would be your story for bringing back? Saying,
I don't know.
There's a lot of fan fiction out there that involves a lot of sex. So none of those. Because it's usually like Jane and Eve.
Yeah.
Help me get this oil off. Imagine a field of wheat and just a dream sequence with Zoe running from either side. I'm just running naked. Grass cuts. Allergy by the time I get to it. Unrecognizable. Something like that. Something sexy like that. Something true to life. Here you go. These are glow-in-the-dark dinosaur bones. They're too intricate for me or my nieces, so I'm passing them on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. So I love you and a lot of the things that you do, but I want to know, how was life at Suburgatory?
Suburgatory. That was a lot of fun.
Such a great.
It was so cool. Yeah, it was a neat show. Emily Kapnick created that show, and it was very, I think they wrote that thing with only four writers, which is insane. Because we were doing 22 episodes a season. There was an episode where I got to sing with a mariachi band behind me and dressed like the Topatillo man, with a big sombrero and a yellow sort of suit on, mariachi suit. Spanish. I look like the Topatillo man. I got like a red scarf on. That was amazing. Because she breaks my heart in that. I'm singing to Carmen, the housekeeper, Cheryl Hines' housekeeper I fell in love with. And she comes out with my therapist. My therapist is sleeping with my girlfriend. And I leave, dejected, but the mariachi band follows me as I leave. And it was just a great moment. Oh, I'll keep that for that thing. You know, I have some more glow-in-the-darks. Here's a glow-in-the-dark. I think we got a stegosaurus in here. I think we got us, oh, this is perfect. And
whatever with the short arms.
Thank you. Hi.
Hello.
I actually have a question for both of you.
All right.
Alan, so many of our beloved Firefly actors have been here to Kansas City Planet Comic Con before, and Claire, you keep coming back.
If one of your friends
was saying they were considering booking a gig here, what would you tell them about your experience?
Oh.
Well, I would say it's an amazing town. I love coming here. The people are great. So yeah. Why not?
Yeah, in a sense, it's don't go. Whatever you do. God, you came to me first.
Did you ask any of your fellow castmates if they liked their experiences here?
No, we don't do that.
I don't know.
I guess we probably should. We have that resource available to us.
You guys have a Rate That Comic-Con, right? That Facebook group? We should have a Rate That Comic-Con from the other side, maybe. Question. This has been a great experience. It's my third year. I absolutely love coming here, and the town is wonderful. The people are wonderful. It's a little chilly this year, I'm not gonna lie. I'm from LA, but the food is great. So we love coming.
Yeah, it's just been great. It's been really great. Yeah, I'm a class act. Like top tier fans here.
Absolutely.
We were discussing that in the green room. So, not a bunch of bullshit. True. These are some Kleenex.
It was a really nasty cold, so we had to sit way back there in case you had to go and cough.
You're right here.
Oh, okay.
There are a couple of them missing. I mean, I know where they went, but... I've been thinking about this one a lot.
Oh, good.
True. Is your favorite color blue? No, I'm kidding. Okay, so 2007 released a film you might remember called Death at a Funeral.
Oh, yeah!
That flick had two token Yankees.
Yes.
One of which was invited back to the 2010...
Yes. Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. So, my question is, do you hate Pete, and how did you feel about being in the 50% of Americans that were not invited back?
You know what, I was not invited back. I had a meeting with the Screen Gems who were behind doing that. I forget the guy's name. He's very Clint something. It's very important. It really is. Just that.
Super big
guy. But they wanted James Marsden for my role, and I'm really glad that they didn't ask me, because I would have fretted about it for a long time, because it would be upsetting to me. Like, why would you do this? Because they did it just a year later, remade the movie. It was ridiculous, with the same script, and just. Like, they transcribed our ad-libs and stuff, and they'd like, this is not the script. And I would have said yes, ultimately. And I'm so glad I did, because that thing stinks.
interesting side question. Cyclops, played by James Marsden.
Yeah, that makes perfect. Oh, I see. Okay, yes, James Marsden, yes. So what about him? Oh, that's just a side. Just a side note.
Yeah.
Cyclops and
you should have been Cyclops.
I should have been Cyclops.
See, it comes full circle.
They got some good shades. All right, now this is. You know what?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I initialed the cookie and the package that came in. You're gonna want to keep this for a long time. Please take it away, or I'll eat it.
Thank you.
If you're allergic to nuts.
No pressure. I'll try to make it good.
Okay, cool.
All right, so Alpha.
Alpha. Oh, from Dollhouse, yes.
Is my favorite.
Yes.
And so after Wash, where you were more jovial, how did it feel to get
offered that role, and then also, is there any Whedon role you would turn down?
No, no Whedon role I would ever turn down. The way that I was offered that role was really brilliant. I was over at Nathan Fillion's house. He was having him do these Pictionary parties, and Joss was there, and we were in the kitchen, and he was saying, I asked him how Dollhouse was going, and it hadn't been on the air yet, and he said, oh, it's great. There's this great character. And he describes him to me. He's got 40-something personalities. They're downloaded into his brain. They're not just personalities. Their entire life spans all. And he's made him crazy. And he flips between one and the other. And I'm like, who's playing that? Oh, my God. And he goes, will you? And I said, absolutely yes.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. So, there is nothing I wouldn't do that guy wrote. He's a great guy. You know, it's so neat to still know him over the years. Mm-hmm. That's not normal.
No.
Or it's not common.
But the way people stick together.
Yeah, it's because of you guys that we do. I mean, really, this world exists. It's not just... by the fans and by cons, and so thank you for giving me Joss Whedon. This is another Spectrum signed by all of us, and the Star Wars thing signed by me, so those are the last two things I got. There you are.
Take the little girl for the last question, because we don't want her waiting in line and not getting
asked.
Gosh,
no.
That would not be cool.
Line should pay off.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
How do you feel like acting K2SO?
Ooh, that's a good one.
K2SO was a great deal of fun. I got to be on stilts, so I was like, never stand on your own furniture this time. And so there was a guy that they assigned to me who was supposed to stay right by me to catch me if I fell. But I had legs this long. I didn't want him hanging out near me because it made me feel like I needed training wheels. Which are good in the beginning, but you're gonna go past that. So I could take strides like that so he could never catch up with me. Actual X-Wing fighters, everybody, all of those, all that makeup, like all those aliens, they were there. Just deep background. There was a robot that was so big, I don't even think it made the movie. And then there's like a little creature like pulling it along. There was like a little person. And then they're like, there's a guy in that. It's like, why is there a guy in that? And then Chess goes, and this guy with no legs comes out. Hey! Cool! Like, you went into puppetry. They like made this for you. It was perfect, but I don't even think I saw it in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. They got brilliance to spare.
That was a great question.
Oh, give you something. Dang it. Uh-huh. Give me that other thing. You don't want coffee. Wants me to give that. Here's a key to my room. Here's another comic book that we all signed. I hope you like it. It's kind of adults. I mean, nobody, you know, anyway.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yay!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.